Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. In just a moment, I'm going to read Matthew's account of the first Easter morning. But first of all, a couple of items for your concern. Right now, many Christian ministries are hurting financially, so I just want to mention a couple that we want to encourage your support, and these are ministries that our church has supported for a long time. The first one I want to mention is Stanton Healthcare. Stanton offers a life-affirming option of healthcare for pregnant women who have a need, and Stanton is an alternative to abortion. It is a life-affirming ministry that really comes alongside women who have a pregnancy and are choosing life. And so if you can make a donation right now to Stanton and send it directly to them, don't send it to us. You can give directly to Stanton on their website. And the second one is Boise Rescue Mission Ministries. And our church is very familiar with the Boise Rescue Mission and the wonderful work that they do. Once again, if you can make a gift to the rescue mission right now, they'd really appreciate it. Do not send it to us. Send it directly to them. And the other thing with the rescue mission right now has a need of masks. And I've got one right here that was made by my dear wife. Hi, Sharla. Right now, the Boise Rescue Mission has a real need for masks. We also have people in our church who need masks. And so if you're listening to me right now and you have sewing skills, we're starting a project in our church to make masks for anybody in our church who needs one, and also to produce masks for the rescue mission. So if you sew and you can be a part of this, you need to call Isla. I'm not going to give last names. I'm sorry because with security issues, but I'm not. Call Isla or Sharla. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, call our church office. You can find the number on our website. And we'll hook you up with materials and instructions so that you can be a part of making masks. So, turn with me now to Matthew chapter 28. And Matthew's gospel tells us that when the angel came to proclaim the resurrection, there was a great earthquake. Now, this text is very timely for us, isn't it? Because we just had an earthquake a couple of weeks ago right here in Idaho. And so some of you most of you listening right now will remember that moment just a few weeks ago when the earth started doing this. It's a very disorienting experience, isn't it? In an earthquake, something that you depend on and take for granted, the stability of the earth itself, all of a sudden, it's very unsettling when the earth itself begins to shake. The message of the resurrection is an earthquake, and it's unsettling, because something we thought we could depend on, death, suddenly isn't very dependable anymore. And that's good news. So open your heart now and your ears and give attention to this reading from God's holy word. I'm reading Matthew 28 and verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mary Magdalene and the one who's called the other Mary went to the tomb early in the morning, the first day of the week. And when they got to the tomb, suddenly Matthew tells us there was a great earthquake, for. And pay attention to that little word, for. There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And Matthew tells us his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. The guards were so terrified of this angel that they began to shake and fell to the ground like dead men. Now, what I want you to notice here is that the earthquake was not caused by the resurrection of Jesus. That happened earlier. That happened before the women got there. The earthquake accompanies the arrival of the angel and the announcement. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. That's a truth that shakes the world, and it still does. Well, this morning I want to take what I'm going to focus in on here are the words of this angel. In the Bible, angels always speak for God. They don't speak of their own authority. They only speak what they're authorized to say. And the words of this angel echo down through the centuries, right down to us. The first thing the angel said was, "Do not be afraid." Now, of course, that's what angels always say. They show up like lightning, make the earth shake, and then they say, "Don't be afraid." The guards at the tomb apparently were not trained to anticipate angels. And they are absolutely terrified. They fall to the ground. Matthew says they fell to the ground like dead men. And there's a wonderful irony here that Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. And the guards who are alive have fallen to the ground like dead men in fear. The angel is not talking to the guards when he says, "Do not be afraid." He's talking to the women. The angel was there to proclaim this great earth-shaking message that Christ is risen. The power in his message is that the way things are now, the way that these women assumed that things are, that death gets the final word. The way things are now will not last forever. That's a good word for us right now, isn't it? A moment before, these soldiers represented the confident assurance, the falsely confident assurance of human power, of human authorities, of human kingdoms. The resurrection of Jesus says, don't count on what looks permanent to this world. Don't count on money and political power and human values and human institutions that exalt themselves as if they were ultimate, as if they were godlike. They seem dependable. And now if you had gone there the night before and asked what's the most dependable authority and power around here, you would have said these soldiers who have been set to guard the tomb. But the resurrection of Jesus has flipped the script. Now these soldiers who represent human power and authority, they're lying helpless like dead men. And these women who came to the tomb in despair and powerless have just heard the news that their Savior is alive. Easter, brothers and sisters, is not just a happy ending on the life of Jesus. It's the surprising and terrifying discovery that there's a whole lot more to life than we supposed. Perhaps right now you've grown accustomed to living in fear of COVID-19. Or maybe you've grown accustomed to living with an aging body that's starting to break down and fail you. Or maybe you've grown accustomed to living with broken dreams and broken relationships. Maybe you get up every morning with so much despair that you might as well be headed to a tomb. Well, the angel of Easter morning has good news for you. Do not be afraid. The way things have been is not, in God's economy, the way things have to be. God is not done with your life. God does not settle as easily as we do. God does not give up as easily as we do. God is not done with your life. God sent his son Jesus into the world to carry the penalty of your sin. And God raised him from death to life to give you new life. God doesn't settle, brothers and sisters. Now, I know that some will say, oh, Phil, I would love to believe that. And perhaps you might even be thinking, you know, if only I had been there. If only I had been there to see the angel and hear the voice of the angel and see the empty tomb. But let me tell you something. Just being there and seeing that and hearing that, that may not have been convincing at all. Don't tell yourself that would have changed your mind. It didn't change the minds and hearts of these guards. They were there. They felt the earthquake. They saw the stone roll away. They heard the angel. And they promptly went to the religious authorities, told them what had happened, and the religious authorities offered them a bribe, offered them money. And by the way, you can read all about this if you just read on in Matthew's gospel beyond what I read this morning. The religious authorities offered them, the soldiers, a bribe. If you'll just tell everybody that the disciples came, his disciples came and stole his body. Well, given that option of believing in the resurrection of Jesus or believing in the power of money, the soldiers chose to take that bribe. Now, given a choice between the evidence that Christ is risen and the evidence that we can just rely on more money to make our dreams come true, brothers and sisters, it's very tempting to just take the money. But if you're tired of taking that bribe, or maybe you've figured out by now that it's a lie, that money won't fill that deepest place in you, and maybe you're ready to hear the message of the angel. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He's been raised, as he said. Now, that's the second thing the angel said that I want to look at. The angel said, he is not here. He has been raised, as he said. Now, for most of us, I know if you're like me, this is far from your first Easter. You've heard the Easter message before. But I want to ask you a question, because even we who know him are prone to this. Why do we keep looking for Jesus in the tomb of history? Why do we keep looking for him in the deep, dark past as if he's somehow confined there? The greatest indictment that the world can make against Christians is when we do not live with earth-shaking, contagious hope. Maybe when you were sometime in your past, when you were in school, maybe like me, you were forced to read the Divine Comedy by Dante, written in 1320. In that classic work, Dante envisions Virgil, the first century Roman poet, taking him on a tour of hell. And Dante sees the dreary procession of people making their way through hell. And he says, I had not thought that death had undone so many. The 20th century poet T.S. Eliot recalled that quote when he looked out of his apartment window in the city of London in the 20th century and saw the people walking by on their way to work and with long, dreary faces. And he thought to himself, I thought I did not know that death had undone so many. And you know what? I thought of that line when I saw a picture just a few days ago of a line lined up about 100 yards long, people waiting to get into Costco. Brothers and sisters, I'm only half joking when I say that there are some people right now who think one more package of toilet paper is going to save them. One more package of toilet paper is going to secure their life, and they can rest easy and secure. Well, Dante comes to mind once again. I had not known that death had undone so many. Now, skeptics will say that the resurrection is a myth. They are mistaken. Let me tell you the real myth that's believed by so many people, and sometimes even by we who know better. And that is the myth that if I try harder, I can fill the empty place in my life. That if I just try harder, if I work harder, if I make more money, if I try harder at home, if I acquire more things, some people think if I play harder, if I party harder, I can fill that empty place in my soul. That's a myth, brothers and sisters, and people believe it. Maybe you're beginning to discover in your life that that myth is a big fat lie. I've been told that many years ago, the United States Cavalry had a saying that they taught to all new recruits. When your horse dies, dismount. Don't keep beating that dead horse. The myth that I can fill the empty place is a lie. All your efforts won't get you any closer. Don't keep looking for salvation in a tomb. He's not there. He's risen, as he said. Now, this does not mean you have to quit your job It doesn't mean you need to find a new retirement life in a different place. Once again, you won't find life there. There is a God-shaped hole at the center of every life, a God-shaped vacuum at the center of every life. And only God will fill it. We keep trying to find other things. You know, your family, and I hope you have family, I hope you have a family around you that loves you. We try to get family to fill that, and it doesn't work. We try to get our marriage to fill that spot, and I hope you have a wonderful marriage. We try to get marriage to fill that spot, and that doesn't work. I hope you have wonderful friends. They can't fill that place. Your money is just money, and it serves a good purpose in your life. And I hope your needs are met. But it won't fill that place. To find life, to find the life that only Jesus Christ offers, you have to repent of all of your efforts to fill that place with something other than Jesus Christ. We have to turn away from all of those false alternatives. That's what the Bible calls idolatry and sin, trying to fill the God-shaped hole with something else. We need to repent of that and turn toward Christ, the one who died for your sins, the one who was raised to give you life. Now that leads me to the third, and final thing that the angel said. Verse 7, the angel said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that Jesus, that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him." The most important thing that the angel said on that Easter morning, I really believe that the most important thing that the angel said was not that Christ is risen. Now, that's pretty important. But for us, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing he said was go to Galilee, in other words, go home and meet him there. There you will meet him. There you will see him. Galilee was the home turf of these women. It was the home turf of the other disciples. It was the ordinary place where they thought nothing new ever happened. But because Jesus is alive, nothing is predictable ever again, even the most familiar places in your life. Easter is not about the dusty past. And sometimes even we who believe the resurrection, we want to keep Jesus in the first century. The angel said, go home. There you will meet him. Well, how convenient. We're all confined to home right now. There you will meet him. And in normal times, once again, he's waiting in your home. He's waiting in the place where you work. He's waiting in your neighborhood. He's even waiting in your church, places in the life of your church where you're going to be surprised that he's going to equip you to serve him. The tomb is empty, so there's no telling where the risen Jesus might pop up. And the text says, verse 8, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Isn't that an interesting combination? They departed from the tomb with fear and great joy. Now, we should not be surprised at that. Think of your own experience of life. Fear and great joy often go together, don't they? They come side by side. If you're married, think of your wedding day. Fear, oh my word, and great joy. Or the day, if you're a parent, the day your children were born. Whoa, what have I gotten myself into? Fear and great joy. If you haven't felt great joy in a while in your life, maybe it's because you haven't taken any risks. Fear and great joy, they go together. Perhaps the joy is missing because you've begun to think that the end of your life is going to be nothing but loss. That you're going to lose your health, you're going to lose your loved ones, you're going to lose your usefulness, and it all ends in the darkness of death. And so if you believe that, then you're trying to squeeze all the life you can out of the gifts that you have now before they're gone. But there's no joy in that because you're just going to spend your energy worrying about losing those good gifts. Joy comes from meeting Jesus for yourself and the fearful, joyful, fearful risk of following him. They ran with fear and great joy, and they met Jesus. And I love this. Jesus said, "Greetings." Here Jesus has just come back from defeating enemy death. The greatest enemy of all is conquered. Here's Jesus standing with his foot on the neck of enemy death, and the first word out of his mouth, "Hi." They took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And he said, "Do not be afraid." That seems to be an important message. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Tell the others. Christian, do not be afraid. Go and tell. Jesus lives. Joy comes from this earth-shaking truth that we have a mighty Savior who is stronger than death, risen from the grave, at loose in the world. And if you'll have him, he's at loose in your own life. You have a choice this morning. You can be like the guards and be overwhelmed with fear and fall down as if dead. Or if you choose, you can say, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And because he lives, I will live also. I will follow him." Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for the mighty victory of your resurrection. And we thank you for the word of this angel who came with this earth-shaking truth. I pray, O God, let these words that Christ is risen, let them penetrate our hearts and our minds and our lives so that we will meet you and see you in all of the ordinary places, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, all the places where you have placed us to serve you, in the places where we work, that we will live with earth-shaking hope. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.